Good morning to each of you. It's a blessing to be with you this morning. I trust that each one of us have been blessed and will continue to be blessed this morning. It's not quite as much time as usual, so I'll do my best to make sure we stay as close to time as we can. But the message this morning, I would like to consider one aspect of a question that we face in life. Is a difficult question, and it's a question of why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And I'm sure we've thought of that question before, and it's a hard question to wrestle through. Sometimes it can seem so random in what happens in life, and it's a universal question as well as a timeless question. It doesn't matter where you are in the world or what time in history, somebody's asking this question. And so this morning, I just want to consider one aspect of that question, so it's not addressing that question in its entirety, but maybe just one aspect of that part of it. And that is looking at this question with the perspective of a test. And that's the title of the message this morning, simply the test. And I don't know what you think about when you hear the word test. Probably our mind goes to the tests that we received in school, going to our school days, and the written tests that we get of a list of questions. And you have to put down answers, and the teacher wants to see if you know the answers of what they were teaching you the last weeks or days, whatever it might be. And the purpose of a test like that is to know what's in your mind and how much do you know? Do you know the right answer? And another test that we might encounter is that of a situation where it is arranged beforehand in order to observe a decision that you make. So for example, it might happen with an employer and a potential employee. And in order to test the integrity of this person, they might set something up. For example, maybe like put some money in an inconspicuous spot where this person is going to notice, and this person might think that they can take the money without anybody seeing. But it's a setup, and this employer is watching. What are you going to do? And they observe the decision, and by looking at that, you can tell something about the character of that person by how they respond to this test. Someone is indeed watching, and they're going to get a glimpse of what your character is like. And that kind of test is going to show what's in your heart, what kind of person you are. And really, a test like that is only valid if the person doesn't know it's a test, because as soon as you find out, then that affects your decision and so on. So this morning I want to think about the tests that we are given in life. What are they and how do we view those? What are they for? Where are they from? And my main point this morning is to consider the tests that we face in life as both revealing and refining. And it's for the purpose of spurring us on to endure with faithfulness, these tests that we face. So to think a little bit about tests, before we go to our text this morning, we think about the different ways the Bible talks about testing. And there's different words that are used to describe this. Sometimes the word test is used, and it depends somewhat on the translation that you're using, what words show up. Other words would include try and trial. It's another way to test something if you try it. And tempt is another common one. Tempt and temptation is a way to test something. Prove is another one that shows up, and examine. So there's several different words that are used to describe the testing that happens. And I was looking for a common factor, thinking, what do all these have in common? And I think it's really talking about someone being brought to a point of decision where I need to decide, what am I going to do? That's the test. When we're brought to that decision, that's really what a test or a temptation comes down to. You have this decision in front of you. You need to decide what path you're going to take. I have this decision in front of me, and it's interesting in the Chinese language, I ran across this in my studies, that the word for crisis in Chinese is composed of two different characters. And I don't quite understand how all the Chinese language works, but they combine words to form other words. And the word for crisis is made of the character for danger and opportunity. And you put those together, and that's their word for crisis. And it shows that point of decision. What path are you going to take in that crisis? So I'm thinking of the tests that we face, and in a broad sense, I think there's a lot of different kinds of tests that we can face. But basically, it's being in a situation where we are brought to a point of decision, where we need to decide, am I going to trust God and follow His word in obedience, or am I going to take another path? And we'll look at some of the different variations of tests as we go through this morning. Now, this morning I have three passages and three different points that I want to consider. So the first point is that the test reveals. And let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8 to look at how the test reveals. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. There's a lot of repetition in here. And I think basically I want to read verses 1 to 3, and then I'll jump down to verse 14, and we'll read verses 14 to 16. And this is a chapter of reminder. So Moses is giving his last message to the children of Israel before they enter the promised land. And he's calling them to remember. And there's different things to remember here. So let's read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, and then 14 to 16. He says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live." Let's jump down to verse 14. The different setting of being in the land. And he says, "Then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end." So in this passage here, in verses 2 and also 16, we see the phrase, "to prove thee." And that has the idea of testing. God was proving or testing Israel in the path that they were on. When you prove something, you test it to see if it's sound. And then if it passes the test, it is proven. And in verse 2, we see that the reason for this test was to know what was in their heart, to see if you would obey. So the chapter starts with a reminder to obey, And then he says that time in the wilderness was to test you. And they were brought to a point of decision. They were facing needs, and they needed to make a decision. Am I going to obey? And what's in focus here is their time in the wilderness and the trials that they faced in the wilderness through that time. And really, the wilderness was a result of their own decisions, their unbelief. And God was using that time in the wilderness to test them and to see where they were at. And as he led them through the wilderness, they faced different struggles, different needs, hunger and thirst. And we know the story of their wanderings and all that they faced through that. They were very needy, but God provided for them. And it was maybe not in the way that they wanted all the time, but he still provided. It says he humbled them. They had to realize that they depended on God to get them through. And this is where we see the verse that Jesus quotes in his temptation by Satan. Verse 3, he says, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I think the point here is that it was not just about getting the food, but realizing that it is in keeping God's word that we live. And we see that in the beginning in verse 1 as well. All these commandments which I command thee, observe to do that you may live. Our life is in keeping God's word. And so often we're just looking for the quick fix. We want God to just get rid of the problems, but God is looking for something deeper. And he's looking for our trust in him and our recognition that we need his word. And then later on in the chapter, Moses talks about the time looking ahead when they're going to be in the promised land and they're going to be enjoying prosperity. So he switches a little bit in perspective, and he says, when that time comes, he says, beware. I think it's verse 11. Beware that you don't forget God when you're facing prosperity. And don't forget all that God did for you. And I wonder if this is another kind of test that we can face. The test of prosperity, where we don't have the wilderness need anymore. We have the things that we need. It seems like everything is under control, and we might even take responsibility for acquiring everything that we have. That's brought out in this chapter as well. The temptation, or the test, you could say, is forgetting God and forgetting what he has done. And I think we need this reminder as well. In times of prosperity, don't forget God. The words of verse 3 are true as well. In times of prosperity, we live by the word of God, not by what we can provide for ourselves. And at the end of verse 16, he says, this proving, this testing, is to do you good in the latter end. So this, it's really for our own good that these tests come. So I think this chapter is showing us two different kinds of tests. There's the test of the wilderness and the needs that we have, difficulties in life. And there's also the test of prosperity. Two different kinds of tests. And each one of these is a point of decision. And your decision will show what's in your heart. It'll show where you're at. It reveals. The test reveals. Second point is that the test refines. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. So we think about the test refining. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll just read verses 6 and 7. First Peter 1, verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I know I realize that just picking these verses out, I'm just looking at a little slice of a larger message that Peter is saying, but I think in just these two verses here, he gives us a glimpse of understanding the tests that we face in life, or the trials as he calls them, temptations, and that is as a refinement. He talks about rejoicing, wherein you rejoice even through heaviness because of what he calls manifold temptations, or basically another way you can say that is various trials. So temptation and trial are often interchangeable, and we can rejoice not because of the temptation or the trial, but because of something else that is happening through that. And he acknowledges that there is indeed heaviness, there's grief in those trials that we face, but at the same time, there's something else happening. And in verse 7, he gives the analogy of the trying of our faith and the refinement of gold. And he talks about how gold is refined through the fire. It's a precious metal, but the refinement process, the purifying, happens through a furnace. And those impurities that are inside, it has to be melted to get rid of those. So he's giving this comparison of the trying of our faith and the refinement of gold. And in the same way, our faith is tried and tested, refined and purified through the temptations or the trials of life. That's what the comparison that he's making. And it's interesting, in the New King James Version, it says the genuineness of your faith. So the real substance of your faith can be made known through the trials. Proverbs 17, verse 3 says, "The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts." So the test will reveal where we're at, but it is also for a refining process, to the end that we might be found, like it says, to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus. And I think James is touching on this as well. In the beginning of James, it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," I think is how he said it, or the various trials. And again, it's not because we're going through a trial, but because there's something happening through that. There's a refinement. And Peter acknowledges the heaviness that does go along with that, the grief that's very real, but there's a refinement that's happening as well. So thirdly, the third point, because the test reveals and the test refines, I want us to be encouraged to endure the test. And let's turn back a few pages to James chapter 1, thinking of enduring. And there are a number of passages that we could think about, could look at, thinking about endurance, but I think James says it well here. James 1, and I'll read verses 12 to 15. He says, "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." So there's two parts to this passage here that I want to think about. And the first is endurance. And he talks about the blessing of enduring the test or the temptation. There's a crown of life that is promised to those who endure. If we endure faithfully this tests that we receive in life. And I hope that by considering the tests that we face in life and how it reveals where we're at and refines us. I just want us to be encouraged to endure whatever test it is that we might be facing. And as much as I wish it would be, this is not just a once and done thing, the one test and then we're finished. It's an ongoing process of enduring different things that come up. There's different tests in different ways throughout life. And as at my grandpa's funeral several months ago was mentioned a phrase that he used to say different times, the crown doesn't come at the beginning and it doesn't come in the middle, but it comes at the end, after we have endured. And just a reminder of the blessing of enduring. And the tests that we face in life can be so different. Each one of us faces different tests that try us, the hardships that we might have to endure. But the big thing to remember is that we don't have to just buckle down and endure it all by ourselves, because we have a God who is near and who hears our prayers. He's the God of all comfort that we can cast our burden on, and we have the gift of the Holy Spirit to act as a comforter, to walk with us through those times. We don't have to endure alone. We also have each other as the church, the family of God, just bearing each other's burdens and walking alongside those who are facing that trial, that test. We don't have to endure alone. Now, the second part of this passage of James here is to talk a little bit about where temptations come from. Where does this come from? And he mentions the origin of temptations. And he makes it clear that God is not the one who tempts with evil. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So God is not the one trying to get us to slip up. And he talks about the temptations really come from within, and it starts with our desires that leads us away from God and his word. And I think we need to make that distinction. God does test us, but the test that God gives us is that of inviting us up to his way of doing things and calling us to his standard. And we see that in his word. He invites us to say, love our enemies. It is a higher standard that God is calling us to. And I think that's the test that God would give us. But there's another test that comes from within, and that's our own desires. And Satan uses our own desires against us to draw us away from God's word and from God's way. So let's be cautious that we, when it comes to our desires. God isn't trying to get us to slip up by sending us hardships. But at the same time, he does allow the tests to come. And I think the story of Job gives a good picture of how that happens. And I don't want to get into that story now, but that's an example of that. Because we can have that feeling sometimes that God is sending all this down on us. And years ago, I had a coworker who had that attitude. And he was not a Christian, very cynical and pessimistic in his outlook on life. And he would share his problems with me, things he was struggling with, and his marriage and his children. And I remember the one time he just said, why is God doing all this to me? Is he just loading me up to see how much I can take before I snap? And that was his outlook. God is sending this on me to see how much I can take. And you know, he's no longer living, but he died a miserable man. And I think he always had that mentality of God just making his life miserable. But I want us to know this morning that is not God's nature, to just see how much we can take before we snap. And I think a better representation would be like it says about the Messiah in Isaiah, that he will not break a bruised reed and the smoldering flax or the wick that is just barely lit, he's not going to quench that. He's not going to snuff that out, but rather seek to bring life back into that. A person who is weakened and just barely holding on, he does not finish them off, but seeks to bring life back. And I think that's the nature of God. Let's remember that's who God is when we're facing the tests that we do. Hudson Taylor, the missionary to China, had a plaque hanging in his house with two Hebrew words on it. The one was Ebenezer, which means thus far the Lord has helped us. And the other one was Jehovah Jireh, which is the Lord will provide. And I think that's just a good reminder to look back at how God has helped us in the past. Because we forget, like Moses was telling the children of Israel, remember. Let's not forget. Let's look back. The Lord has helped us. And also for the present and for the future, to remember that God will provide. Even when it seems like there is no way, God will provide. God is faithful. So I don't know what test you might be facing in life. Maybe it's a test of the wilderness. Maybe it's a test involving our desires and being led astray into sin through that. Maybe it's a test of prosperity. No matter what our test might be, I want to encourage us to endure faithfully. And in the Lord's Prayer, there's the request that God would not lead us into temptation, and that we don't want to face the test. And we're praying, God, if it is possible, don't let us face the test. But if that temptation, if that test does come, deliver us from evil. And I think that should be our prayer each day. When that point of decision comes, keep us from evil. And maybe learn, like Moses says in Deuteronomy 8, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God doth man live. And may God help us to that end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are good and that you care about us. Whatever we're going through, the tests that we face in life, and we know that you are ready to walk alongside of us through those tests. Lord, help us to be faithful as we endure the tests that come in life. Help us to live by your word as we go about each day. Would you guide us and keep us and deliver us from temptation, deliver us from evil when we face those tests. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.